Well, here we are, another episode of Fork Sports Highway, April 25th. My favorite time of year. We've got NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, the beginning of the baseball season going on, NFL draft. If we just had some more women's basketball, probably be the best time of year ever.
Just a few more weeks away, Monty. WNBA starts soon.
And, so here I am, and it's... We got those to talk about. So the NBA playoffs are going on. The NHL playoffs are kicking off. That first round of the NHL playoffs is like brutal. The speed and the brutality in that first round, it tapers down as they go deeper into it. But boy, it is brutal to start with and fast paced. And then the Major League Baseball, I don't know, are the Twins capable of making contact with the baseball?
Hey, I mean, Monty,
they strike out like...
No, Monty. You are wrong. No.
Okay, Dale, no. Set me straight.
They're on a four-game winning streak, Monty.
Four whole games.
Yeah, four games. Hey, that's called a winning streak.
So who have they been playing?
Do you know the movie? Monty, you know the movie Major League 2? Yesterday, we won a game. If we win a game today, that'll be two games in a row. If we win a game tomorrow, that'll be three games in a row. They call that a winning streak. It has happened before. Four games? That's an awesome winning streak for the Twins compared to how they started. But they are not playing the Royals, Monty. Come on. They're playing the White Sox.
Yeah. The worst team in the league.
Yeah.
Did you see the stat for the White Sox?
I know they're awful.
Worst start with four other teams in Major League Baseball history, going back to like 1899.
Yes. Though I know the
White Sox are what, 3-23?
Well, as Common would say, they're biblically bad.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
Well, I don't think Detroit was much better than them that they played before.
Well, no, I wouldn't doubt that. But so here I am. But then the legend Bill Deutsch is back in the house after a little hiatus last week.
Back.
Also, yeah. Keith in the chat.
Oh, God's good. Yeah, Keith's going to set us straight down again. But, Bill, you were down in the cities. You watched some grandkids play some sports?
Yeah, I watched some... 12 and under girls hockey.
Yeah.
I made it to a few towns around Minneapolis, so it's kind of fun to watch them.
Well, women's sports, women's hockey, women's basketball, they're all up and coming. They're gaining their following. I'll tell you what, women's sports in America when it comes to basketball and hockey will supersede any soccer.
For anybody.
They've been pushing soccer at us since we were kids in the 70s, telling us that this is it. You know, if not for Pele, we wouldn't even know what the hell it was.
Well, I did go to one of those professional hockey league games, too.
St. Paul?
Yeah, at the XL Center. And they're saying the team in either Ottawa or Montreal is averaging like 9,000 people at the game.
Well, that's a nice crowd. It's not.
Are you talking PWHL there?
Minnesota.
Did you say you were able to catch a game?
Yeah, I caught one in Minneapolis the last time I was down there.
Oh, okay. How was that? Just seeing them actually have like big league, their equivalent of their version of a WNBA.
Well, I tell you what, I hadn't seen a slap shot since I saw the college girls playing UND. It's because I'm used to seeing kids with no shots at all.
Yeah.
And these girls do...
Oh, wind it up?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, the ability of those girls really shocked me.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, we are Minnesota, the state of hockey, right? And up here in Grand Forks, we are the city of hockey. Mm. And it's been going on a while now. It's not like girls' hockey is a new thing. It's been several decades, a couple decades.
Yeah, there's a lot of youth playing hockey.
And, you're talking about girls' hockey, and we're coming off probably the biggest women's basketball viewership.
Yeah.
In history,
yeah,
with the Caitlin Clark and I mean, so the college basketball women outdraw the men's basketball. We talked about that last week for the first time ever, and that was purely that Caitlin Clark phenomenon, and the other good teams that were there, but it is outdrawing the WNBA by far women's college basketball.
It should be interesting what happens with the WNBA now that they're about ready to start.
Well, no.
I think a week or two out.
And it's one of those things that, you know, they needed a kickstart somewhere. And this might be it. They're never going to be the following of the Lakers or the Knicks or well, then you talk about, Bill, the football viewership and fandom is far greater than anything the NBA is enjoying right now.
Well, if there's a WNBA game on right now, more people are going to be turning their sets to the NFL draft.
That's right. NFL. We'll have up-to-date NFL draft live results tonight starting at 7 o'clock here. I got the board queued up.
I just spent the last 5 minutes building up women's sports. And then you just in an instant, you killed that.
Trash talk. Bill said he supported women's sports by going to a PWHL game.
I know he supports women's sports.
I mean, it's funny that, like, I don't know. Like, it's so funny because the NBA, they finance the WNBA. And so, I mean, the girls have been doing pretty okay. I mean, I'm not going to lie. These girls they've been hustling. So, I mean, I give them props.
The bottom line, though, is it's a money business and every last one of them is in the red.
There's no doubt about that.
We should give a big welcome to...
No, that's what I was going to say. We had Victor in the house for a while. He used to drop in on us every once in a while.
I think those girls now, their first year salary is $76,000.
Yeah. Well, that's an improvement.
It is an improvement.
Any rookie that makes the NBA is $1.1 million.
Yeah, well,
that's
moved up from like $750,000, $825,000. So they've increased. So, and we're talking, the NBA used to have 12-man rosters, Bill. They have 15-man rosters now. 12 guys that dress every game, but 3 guys in suits. Mm. The 3 dudes in suits are making that $1.1 million. And back in the day, I bring this up repeatedly. 1978, David Thompson, the Skywalker out of North Carolina State, played for the Denver Nuggets. He was phenomenal player, and he signed a contract. $5 million, 6 years, $800,000 a year. Highest paid player in the NBA in 1978. $800,000 a year. And now the guys that don't even play are making more money than that. That's how escalated it's become.
They got pretty, I'll say this, they got pretty soft. Like, the new guys got soft. Not like the old guys. Like, the old guys would actually, like, play. And you would get excited for them to play. But now, the new kids on the block, I don't know. They just... You give them money and they don't even play. Like Monty's saying, you give them money and they don't even play.
You know, Victor, that boy. You're talking about soft.
There are some exceptions, you know.
Yeah, but in the what I'm talking about, the 1970s into the 80s, the majority of players on the roster played all 82 games. Mm. They didn't take
rest days.
What's the term we hate around here?
Load
management. Mm. Load management.
Trademark of the show.
Yeah. Load management. And so you know, a guy like Oscar Robertson or Jerry West, you know, Wilt Chamberlain. Wilt Chamberlain never fouled out of a game. Played every game every season. And banging bodies and one year. He averaged over 48 minutes a game. Okay, a game of basketball is 48 minutes long. Mm. He averaged over 48 minutes a game because he played every single minute of every regulation game, and then he played all the overtime minutes of every... He never sat down.
Dedicated.
That's load management. Yeah. If anybody needed load management, it would be the guy that played every minute of every game.
Yeah.
Let's sit down and take a break. And on top of that, he never fouled out of a single game.
That's true.
Played every minute of every game, didn't fall of a single... You
know. Well, that is super impressive, considering he did not take a minute off.
Well, he must have been paying the refs off, huh?
No, he just must have been the most phenomenal athlete that ever lived.
I mean, you're talking... Yeah, Will Chamberlain, and, like, he's still considered by many to be that athlete. Like, yeah, that's the guy you want.
Okay. So just a preface, okay? Last season... LeBron James passed Kareem Abdul-Jabbar as the all-time leading scorer in the NBA.
Nah.
In 20 seasons, though. in 20 seasons, he gets to like 38 or 39,000 points. And Kareem played 22 seasons to get to that 38,000 plateau. But Wilt was the first player to get to 30,000 points. He had like 31,000 points in his career. Mm. But he played 13 seasons. Not 22, not 20, 13 seasons. Which is, that's a really short NBA career to set every dang record that exists.
I mean,
I don't know, Bill. 55 rebounds in one game.
Well, he
55 rebounds in one.
That seems implausible.
Yes,
55. There weren't that many big men in the world, though, either.
Well, there weren't that, you know, and that's their argument always. But you know what? Wilt Chamberlain played against like 20 centers that are in the NBA Hall of Fame. So there were some big men.
Well, heck, look at Bugsy. Bugsy, like the shortest basketball player in the world, but he still could like move on you like nobody's business. So I mean, if that's the case, well then heck, you know, average guys like look at Larry Bird. Larry Bird, even though he's a tall dude, don't get me wrong, I mean, there are taller dudes than him, like Yao Ming and all them. So I mean, either something's in the water or something's not. So I mean,
well, Larry Bird, he was one of a kind, that guy.
Dream team.
No, well, and he was that guy that he wasn't, well, he's like Jokic for Denver. Larry Bird was. He didn't run fast. He didn't jump out of the gym. He could hit shots and he was smart. The passing, you see the highlight clips they put together of Larry Bird's passes, where he's passing the ball between guys' legs and around their heads, and the fakes he's putting on them, and all of the NBA greats, the Dominique Wilkins, the Michael Jordans, the James Worthies, they talk about Larry Bird's trash talk to them on the court, where Larry Bird literally tells them what the play is going to be, and I'm going to fake left, I'm going to take one dribble right, I'm going to pump fake you, and then I'm going to shoot. And he would do it. And these guys, you see these interviews like a Dominique Wilkins, and they're like, this is what he said to me. And James Worthy's one that said Larry Bird told him exactly what the play was going to be, that if you jump the pick, I'm going to do this. If you go under the pick, I'm going to do this. And then he did exactly what. And the thing about trash talking, in those days, like Larry Bird is only talking to the guy guarding him. Mm. He's not talking loud. He's not like being exploitive toward the bench or the other players. He's just talking to the guy he's matched up with.
Yeah.
and you know, I see this interview with James Worthy, and you know, James Worthy, big game James for the Lakers and all, and he was a great one, as good as they come. He said that when Larry Bird said that to him the first time he heard that, he was like, "Bullshit! I'm pretty fast. I'm 6'9". I can jump. He's not going to do this to me. Who's this white guy?"
Well, I don't know. You know, I saw that Showtime show, you know, or the HBO show Showtime, and they made Larry Bird make a stand up, straight up guy. Yep, no, nothing problematic about him at all. No problem on the court. Stand up, dude.
Well, no,
I'm just kidding.
And I'm not saying he wasn't. Because that Celtic team at the time was, McHale and Parrish and Dennis Johnson and even Tiny Archibald. They had him, and then they had to get Bill Walton in there. They had three. They won three championships with Larry Bird, and. Then they lost a few to the Lakers.
Well, it was like almost those two, and I guess a couple Sixers. Years with the Pistons also there towards the end of the 80s.
Well,
the Pistons early 90s.
The Pistons came in later and won two in a row. The last Laker championship with the Magic Johnson bunch was over the Pistons in seven games, and it was really tight. And then the Pistons came back and won back-to-back. The Lakers were potentially looking at going three-peating at that point, and they got beat by the Pistons. When the Pistons won their first title, Isaiah and Joe Dumars and Bill Laimbeer and
Monty, I bet you're just absolutely jacked now that it's NBA playoff season. You've been building up to it a lot. I know you want to jump into it a lot, but I know we're due for our first break.
The ad will get us the ad.
Yeah,
then,
so we're here.
You want to talk NBA playoffs? I'll unload right now.
I figure I'd tee you up here, but why don't we get a little volume up and I'll play a video ad here.
Okay, here we go.
Winter in the Northland means no golf, right? Wrong. Looking to get in a round of golf in a climate-controlled winter oasis? Want to just whack some balls in the virtual driving range and work on your swing? Check out Albatross Indoor Golf Club in Grand Forks with more than 90 courses, range venues, and games including Pebble Beach, St. Andrews, TPC Sawgrass, and more. All on an incredibly accurate optical-based simulators from driving to putting. Play straight up. Team up for a scramble, play tournaments, or join the two-person scramble league. It's fun for everyone, and all ages are welcome, too. Call or text 701-757-3220 to set up a tee time. Check out Albatross Indoor Golf Club at the Columbia Mall, your home for the best indoor golf experience around.
Well, we're back. So the NBA playoffs, I mean, it's been interesting watching the NBA play-in.
I didn't figure all that out. So it was the seven and eight played each other.
Yes, so the 7 and 8 play each other.
And why wouldn't they do 7 and 10?
You would think so, Bill. That's what I always thought. Okay. But they do the 7 and 8, and then the winner gets the 7 spot.
Okay.
And the loser has to play the winner of the 9-10. So the loser of the 7-8 has a second chance.
Okay.
The 9-10 doesn't have a second chance.
And I want to say last year, like, the Timberwolves lost their first play-in game, but then they had a second chance, and they won it, and they went to the first round.
Yes.
And then they got obliterated.
Well, but there's the Timberwolves are currently up 2-0
yes.
in their series right now, which is there are a lot of sports pundits nationally that had picked the Suns to beat the Timberwolves in 7 or 6 games, even after the Timberwolves won game one.
Well, I remember we were all just kind of not so high spirits last week because we knew the Suns had the Timberwolves number during the regular season. They won all 3 regular season matchups against them, and one of them being the last game of the season. So it's not like it's been a while since they faced them. This is pretty much the same roster. But, I mean, game one, it was 120 to 195 Timberwolves won. And Edwards just on fire that second half, 33 points in the game. And, you know, Suns tried to respond game two where they handled Edwards pretty good. I think he only made, like, 3 field goals, only made 15 points. But then the rest of the team stepped up. Jaden McDaniels, 25 points. Rudy Gobert, lights out defense. Almost 20 rebounds, almost 20 points, a little under 20 points. And the rest of the team, like, fifth, sixth man, all stepped up. So huge, huge response.
Well, and the Phoenix Suns have – one of the things with that matchup is that people were worried that the Timberwolves were going to try to get into a up-and-down running game with them when they actually have the more physical, deeper bench. So it should be a half-court game rather than trying to run with the Suns, because if you're going to run with the Suns, you got Devin Booker and you got Bradley Beal and you got – Kevin Durant and the Timberwolves actually have the size advantage on that team, and so use it.
Yeah, Conley, Anderson. Well, I think Anderson got a little dinged up there the first game.
Well, but then you also have Cat back too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Cat's back. Yeah,
and so I think that the absence of Cat for the month and a half or 2 months or whatever it's been has established that Ant's the star on that team.
Yeah.
He's not. So Cat's the backup guy to him, the Batman. You know, you have your Batman and Robin. He's the Robin.
Well, Cat only came back for like the last game game of the season. So I mean, imagine there's got to be a little bit of rust to kind of work his way through.
But Cat is never going to be that badass guy like Ant is.
Well, he's got that young
he gets into it with guys. Mm-hmm. Karl-Anthony Towns doesn't. He gets into it with guys like him that are tall, skinny, non-fighters, and Ant is more of a get in the face of people. Ant is the guy that got into with Draymond Green. Draymond is insane. Draymond is like knocking people out in his own team.
Put Rudy Gobert in a headlock and in the middle of the court.
Yeah. But Ant, Rudy Gobert is talking, not Rudy Gobert, but Draymond Green is talking shit at Ant, and Ant is responding to him like, is telling him that nobody cares about you anymore. Talk about trash talk.
That sounds a bit trash.
Well, that's what nobody he's saying to Durant right now, too, isn't he?
Same thing, yeah. It's just like nobody cares about you anymore. I'm the shit now, you know? Like, and I like that. I do. I follow, well, of course, I'm a Knicks fan, but I do follow the Timberwolves, and if they're doing well, I hope so. I've watched them exit in first round way too many times. Shit. And then, of course, when they had their great team, they had my Latrell Sprewell from the Knicks.
No, right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. So that
he's got kids to feed.
Yeah, you got to feed his family. But when the Timberwolves made it to that Western Conference Finals that one time, they unfortunately ran into Shaq and Kobe in their prime.
Yeah. And then they had Karl Malone and Gary Payton as well. Yeah.
It was a tough place to run into. And Sam Cassell got it like a hamstring pull or something, or a groin injury, and that pretty much ended their run.
Well, Monty, I know you're chomping at the bits to update us on how the Knicks have been doing in the playoffs so far.
Well, the Knicks, last game of the season, last game of the regular season, the New York Knicks beat the who did we beat that game? Miami Heat. They beat the Miami Heat in the final game of the season, and they ended up with a 50-win season for only the second time in the last 23 years.
Shoot.
50-win seasons aren't that often in New York ever since Patrick Ewing and Charles Oakley and John Starks and that whole bunch of guys. They used to do it routinely. So they made it 50-32 was their record, but the last game of the season they beat the Heat. And
they beat up on Jimmy Butler, didn't they?
Yes, they did. And they ended up with the number 2 seat in the East behind the Boston Celtics, which I'd have been happy.
This year they beat up on Jimmy Butler.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but no, this year they ended up as a 2 seat going into the playoffs when I would have been happy if they were the 4. But they squeaked, they fought. And the Knicks basically have played with 3 guards, okay? DiVincenzo, Josh Hart, and Jalen Brunson. 3 guys that played college basketball together at Villanova in Philadelphia. Mm. Unheard of. It's unheard of to have 3 college basketball teammates playing those bigger roles on a team in the NBA. The chemistry is uncanny the way these guys... They don't give a shit who the star is. The ball is moving. It's real basketball, Bill. They actually play fucking defense. The only team in the goddamn league.
I actually watched the highlights from both of the Knicks games. Yeah. Happy early birthday, by the way. I'm like, for Monty's birthday present, I'm going to actually watch the highlights for both of the Knicks games so I can actually have a little to report back. Josh Hart really stood out. I know... Throughout both games, I kept thinking, I bet Monty is probably on the edge of his seats throughout both of these games because both games were pretty much close, tight
games
throughout their entirety, especially the final minutes of both games.
Yeah.
I think because what was it, game 1 or game 2 where the Knicks came back? I read some stat.
Game 2.
It was playoffs. They were down by, 8 points in the last 30 seconds? And wasn't there a stat I believe I saw, they were only, the third or fourth team in NBA history to mount a comeback in the playoffs? That far back,
like that, yes, yeah. in with that little time.
And I know what you got to talk people through that crazy. I saw you posted a clip of it on your Facebook. A certain shot in that final 30 seconds.
Well, okay, so DiVincenzo is the one shooter from Villanova, and he jacks up the 3 and misses, and there's a fight. There's like 4 Sixers, and then there's. Isaiah Hartenstein, the big white center for the Knicks, who grabs the rebound and in traffic grabs the rebound and then barely gets the pass bounced out of the lane to Jalen Brunson, and Brunson kicks it right back over to DiVincenzo, and he splash 3-point, and now the Knicks are up 1 when they were down
Was it eight?
Eight.
Yeah. I want to say it was eight.
Eight. They scored 8 points in 27 seconds.
And it was one of those 8 points, that was where it had that huge bounce, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Jalen Brunson, the previous three-point shot, took the shooter's bounce and went in.
Well, it kind of reminds me, you know, how many times have you seen in the NFL where, you know, maybe a big collision where they throw the ball to a receiver and the ball bounces high up in the air and then you're just kind of, bug-eyed because you don't know who's going to come down with a ball, or whether it be a lucky catch by the throwing team or just a fluky interception, you know?
But you can... My thing is, it's so fun to watch because they play team basketball, and you can tell those, at least with those three guys that played together in college, they don't care who the hero is. They're just playing basketball and sharing the ball, and they enjoy playing with each other. Mm-hmm. And they play defense. Tom Thibodeau is a defensive-minded coach. Mm-hmm. And then you also have another guard. So just to preface, the Knicks' big guys, they're big guys inside, are Mitchell Robinson was the starting center. Julius Randle was the starting power forward. And the other forward started out as the kid they traded off to Toronto. They brought in a guy from Toronto, R.J. Barrett. They traded R.J. Barrett to Toronto, and they traded Emmanuel Quickley to Toronto. And both those guys were kind of fan favorites in New York, and people were whining about those trades. The guys they brought back were O.G.
Anunoboy. I'm probably screwing it up.
Yeah, I know. It's a tough name to say. But he's a defensive specialist, and he's about 6'8". So he gives them another gritty, tough guy versus these other guys that were scorers. And then they brought in a guy named Precious Achiuwa, who was also like a 6'9" inside player. So they got these two defensive guys. But then at the same time, OG got hurt. Randle got hurt. Mitchell Robinson was out. So the Knicks were forced to play three guards damn near the whole season. But the three guards were dudes that played together in college.
Oh. Monty, you got a call coming through.
Oh, here he is.
Hello.
Is it Supersonic?
Who wants to do
it
that?
It is. I'm here.
How about this?
Supersonic!
We don't have Raven, so...
That's the Where'd best. Raven go?
I haven't heard from her today.
Well, she's at the Horse Expo.
Oh, is that? She
told me she is on the beat, and she's going to have a full in-depth report next week.
Good.
No, she told me. Yeah, she did say she wouldn't be here, and I forgot about that. I was wondering where she was. Not like Bill. Bill updated us like minute by minute, you know. What?
Minute by minute of what?
Where you were going to be.
Oh, okay.
Well, so anyway, these guys...
So they're playing Philadelphia right now.
Yeah, the Knicks are playing Philadelphia right now.
Kristaps, or whatever that guy's name is, he plays for Philadelphia now?
Who?
The Russian guy. That used to be a Nick.
No, he's a Celtic. Kristaps Porzingis.
Yeah.
Monty, do you want score updates or do you want to take it in live? Do you want to be spoiled or no?
We want to hear who the number one pick is.
Well, it's just that the NFL draft is just started 2 minutes ago. I will check here in a second.
These guys, Supersonic, these guys are out of hand over here. I'm doing my best to keep them in check.
Monty, you're a pro.
But they are just... Just
who do you think is going to be number one? Do you think the kid from USC will go number one?
Well, there's Bill. Go ahead, Bill.
Well, yeah, I'm pretty sure that he's going number one. There's like three quarterbacks.
To Chicago? Chicago?
Yeah, it's going to go within the first five. There's going to be three quarterbacks.
All I'll tell you is Chicago will ruin him.
Yep, there's a kid out of here, out of the University of Washington, they're talking about, first-round guy, too.
Yeah, he's a good quarterback.
Who's the first-round pick?
Penix.
Got a pick?
Yeah, Phoenix or
Chicago
something like that.
Bears.
Chicago Bears. Okay.
It looks like
because the Chicago Bears, then it's Washington.
Did the Chicago Bears trade to get the pick?
Well, maybe in the past.
No, I'm seeing something on there saying Carolina Panthers traded with the Chicago Bears to get the number one pick just now. They haven't announced the pick yet.
Oh,
but I'm refreshing the NFL.com page. I will keep you posted. I see Keith is in the chat updating us too. Supersonic Steve, who's your top pick projections?
He's going with Penix.
I don't think he'll be number one, but I do like the kid from USC. He's pretty talented, but he's a head case. But we'll see.
Oh no, that can't possibly be true. He's a head case.
Well, didn't they want to be part ownership or something like that?
No, he He wanted to be a part of. If they're going to draft him, he wanted to have an ownership interest in the team, not just play for the team. I mean, you haven't even played down one. We don't know if you should be like selling beer in the stands or quarterbacking the team. It's for an athlete to think he's that good. You know, there's a lot of great athletes that didn't pan out.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
All the time, yeah.
A crapshoot.
You
ever heard of a guy named LaRue Martin?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so number one pick in the NBA draft. Nobody knows who the hell he is except me.
And me.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
There have been a few of us. LaRue Martin.
Okay, how about Sam Bowie?
Yeah, there's another Kentucky draft pick. Boy.
Yeah.
I can name number one draft picks. Michael Olowokandi.
Well, there's another one. That's another one. Yeah, that's Dale. Boy, where have you been?
Go Jeez. Timberwolves.
Yeah, Michael Olowokandi.
Well, who's that guy from Montana that was the quarterback? He was a real.
He played at WSU.
Ryan Leaf?
Ryan Leaf, yeah.
He went to prison.
Oh, yeah.
He went to prison.
He's a commentator now.
Oh, no, he cleaned himself up finally.
And he did.
But he went through some awful, awful shit. He was,
bad stuff. Yeah.
He was in prison.
You know, it's always the cocky, like arrogant, like players that always seem to get it in the end. But when they want to clean themselves up, they either sell them shit or get off the pot, man. Like, you got to clean yourself up here. Because if you don't, you're going to be, like Monty said, you're going to be the guy selling peanuts in the stadium instead of playing on the field. So
you better, that's true. So true.
You better
so
get
true.
It together, bro.
It's so true, though.
And it's funny, he says that, and immediately in my mind, pops into my mind is Delonte West.
I don't know
if you guys follow the backstory or what, but Delonte West was a pretty darn good NBA player, played for the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Boston Celtics, and I thought he was going to be a much better player long-term than he ended up being, but when he was in Cleveland, and to me it's one of the funniest goddamn things in the history of the NBA, because I'm such an anti-LeBron James fan.
Nuh-uh.
No. Yeah. No shit. I wouldn't know that.
Have you heard that?
He had a good game the other night.
Well, anyway, the story goes. So Delonte West is a teammate of LeBron James in the Cleveland Cavaliers, the first stint in Cleveland for LeBron James. Mm. And Delonte West is banging LeBron's mom.
Ooh. What?
Yeah. No, that's true.
Ooh.
It's absolutely goddamn true.
Talk about inbred.
So Delonte West, who's like a couple years older than LeBron, is banging his mother. And LeBron goes to management and gets Delonte traded to the Celtics. But he washes out in Boston, and the next thing you know, he's like in Phoenix, like addicted to crack on the streets.
Dude.
Yeah, it's really sad. I've seen pictures of him on the road.
Yeah, and then Mark Cuban from the Mavericks, because he did play for the Mavericks for a period of time. Somebody with that organization actually saw him out on the streets like that and rescued him and brought him into rehab. And then he relapsed again. But currently playing in the Big Three, the three-on-three league, I think. Seems like he's got a little bit of his life back. But his career started spiraling after he was banging LeBron's mom.
No wonder then. Shoot. LeBron family, man, they're bad luck, man.
That's nice. We're going to be off the air tomorrow.
Yep. Oh, my lordy. Gosh. So,
well, it's true though. It's a fact, you know.
I mean, Dale,
you can't make stuff like that up.
I mean,
wasn't like Pippen and somebody else's.
No, that's the other one that's going on. So Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan were these fast, great friends that played through all these championships in Chicago, six championships. The six championships in Chicago, Michael Jordan only had one teammate that was on all six of those championships, and that was Scottie Pippen.
Yeah.
And Scottie Pippen had all the accolades, played on the goddamn dream team, right? But currently, Michael Jordan's son is banging Scottie's ex-wife.
Dang, dude.
And Scottie hates Michael Jordan. Every time you see an interview, Scottie Pippen is trashing Michael Jordan left and right. Michael's not banging your ex-wife. His son is.
Jeez.
Yeah. I thought I heard they broke up.
Well, maybe they did, but he's like 25. She's like 50.
I remember from the Last Dance doc, right? You could definitely tell that there's still some old wounds
between
Pippen and Jordan. Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. Hostility indeed.
I mean, talk about getting back at someone like extremely hard. Like, you're not only were you guys were great friends, and then to add insult to injury, his son is banging like your best friend's what? Like, come on. That's like the nail in the coffin. That's donezo. Yeah. The endo. Finito. Like, that's the end.
I agree, man. I'd have a hard time with it. You know?
Like, dude, how can you be friends with after that? Like, that should like that's on non-speaking terms after that. Like, dude.
And that's kind of what it turned into.
That's like, that's the end.
Everybody's trying to figure out why Scottie's so angry at Michael.
Oh, I wonder why.
I'm like, I know.
So, Monty, any other NBA playoff matchups you want to cover here?
Well, I do. My thing is the three teams that I look at as the young and upcoming is the Oklahoma Thunder.
Yep.
The New Orleans Pelicans, although they've had some, their injury issues and they aren't on their best.
Zion's not even playing.
Well, yeah, because he got hurt in the play-in against the Lakers. When he put up 40 points, but the youth in New Orleans, the youth in Oklahoma, and also I would include the youth in Minnesota. They're not afraid of anybody. Those guys,
they're not afraid of what's his name,
LeBron.
Well, Boston, Boston's good though too.
Well, they're not, and that's the thing I like about it, though, is these guys have come along, and LeBron's the oldest guy in the NBA. He's 39 years old, and he's still pounding the ball, and he can give you 30 or 40 points a game, but if he's giving you 30 or 40 points a game, that means his teammates are watching him, and they're going to lose. They're going to lose, and it just doesn't work that way. When you're an old athlete, if you don't step back and take a role position, you're never going to win another championship.
Yeah.
And that's his thing, is he still wants to be out there the front runner when you're the oldest guy in the goddamn league. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work like that. No. Father Time is undefeated.
Oh, yeah.
It's undefeated.
But it's pride, man. It's that pride where
let go. He had the shot at the end of the game there.
Yeah, well, he ain't never been a great three-point shooter. He's jacked up enough of him, though.
He sure thinks he is.
Oh, I know, and his fans think he is too. But he's
proud of the three pointers. He's just not any good at it.
No, he's never been the greatest shooter. He would have been a great WWE wrestler.
that'll be his next
That's about as big a compliment he's ever getting fucking from me.
I'm with you on that one.
You know, LeBron has dabbled in the entertainment world, you know, with Space Jam, Trainwreck.
It wouldn't shock me if he was fucking in WWE with The Rock or something next year.
Yeah, I mean, there's been previous precedents for sports athletes, active and retired, both competing in matches or getting involved. You know, Dennis Rodman and Karl Malone did a tag team match while training for it during the NBA playoffs, teaming with, I believe it was summer of 98, Karl Malone teaming with Diamond Dallas Page against Hulk Hogan and Dennis Rodman. Remember that big? That got a lot of hype, Ben. Dennis Rodman, try and get a lot of crap for skipping practice during the playoffs to go train for wrestling?
He certainly did. During the finals. Yeah. During the finals, he took off to go wrestle.
Yeah. Yeah. It kind of makes other people mad when you're like, no, this is your sport, not that sport. So yeah. This is more important.
Well, one might be a sport. I'm not going to say which
good
one.
Hey, Monty, I rewatched the main event of WrestleMania 40 last weekend at Family Over. They're like, Bill, they actually, you'll like this. They had the same question you did. My stepdad was like, Dale, I was watching Peacock, and I saw that WrestleMania on that night, so I just watched the first match, and I had no idea what was going on. Explain to me this briefcase. I just immediately thought, because you had the exact same question for me, and I was like, where do I start? So we watched that part, and then we just watched the main event. I'm like, are you sure you want to watch the main event? I said, it's one of the greatest things in WrestleMania history, but it's an hour long when you factor in the entrances and the main event and all that and the recaps. But
that's this year's?
Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes, one of the best all-time WrestleMania main events. You factor in the entrances, the whole story that led up to it for well over a year, and I kept saying, are you sure you don't want to watch like the last 10 minutes? The last 10 minutes is just intense. And they're like, no, let's watch the whole thing. We gotta get the whole pomp and circumstance. And they were all for it and they loved it. So I was like, they're not like wrestling geeks like me. So, but no, they enjoyed it. So, Bill, did you catch the last part of night two there, the main event?
I wasted 10 hours.
Yes! All right.
Whoa. Wasted 10 hours.
You can't get those 10 hours back.
No. Keys to the chat. How would you rate this year's WrestleMania? I'm curious. How overall is the package?
Wait. Just before you get into him rating those, Supersonic, how many hours did you waste on it?
Zero.
Me too. Go ahead, Bill. What did you see?
Well, it was definitely entertaining.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah.
Did you watch any women's matches?
Well, There's a few.
Yeah.
Monty went for the tear.
Hey, the women are stepping it up just as much as the guys here in these several years.
Did I not go to some fights with you where we saw some women fight?
We went to the Ralph one night.
Okay. We saw some. This wasn't wrestling; it was more mixed martial arts stuff. But we did see some women beating women up, and for some reason, I found that intriguing.
I mean, Ronda Rousey, she is a part of so mixed martial arts would be in there. So I mean,
think the girls were more entertaining that night than I remember
when I was with you. Yeah,
right.
Oh yeah. No, I was aroused.
Well, I hope you weren't aroused.
Bill, what the hell's going on, bro?
I'm kidding. God damn it. Something about being two scantily clad women fighting each other in a ring and one over the top of the other one punching in her face and they're bleeding. I just it's almost barbaric, but you can't stop watching.
Monty, I'm sorry. I completely derailed it. I wanted to mention that at some point, and then you get me going about wrestling. I could go on forever. But I know you got a lot more sports to come here, a lot more headlines, but I know we are due for our next ad break. So I'm good.
He's so good about
– So
he's so polite.
I think
we got an ad to do.
Always
we got
gets a video. The ads in.
We got an ad to do.
Churchill Shoes is saying goodbye. After over 75 years of catering to all of our footwear needs, Chuck says it's time to retire, and that means unbelievable savings for you. From now until the store closes at the end of May, stop in for the most incredible sale ever at Churchill Shoes. Huge store-wide savings on both men's and women's shoes. Your feet will never be happier than when they're wearing Sash shoes. You'll love them. But hurry, when the store inventory is gone, it's gone for good. 75 years is a long time, and May isn't that far away. Stop and save now at the going out of business sale at Churchill Shoes in the Grand Cities Mall from now until the end of May. And Chuck says thank you to all of his great customers throughout the years. We'll miss you, Chuck. Stop into Churchill Shoes in the Grand Cities Mall.
All right, we're back. I'm going to stop talking about scantily clad women fighting each other.
No, let's keep going.
That Churchill Shoes has been going out of business for a couple of months now.
Oh yeah, big update. Well, I believe their lease is going on. They got like just under a month left on their lease. So, but they just updated their retirement sale right now. It's now 50% off all shoes. So. Okay. Very, very great deals. You get top-class shoes out there. I got a pair of shoes early on in their sale there, and they will last a long, long time. I'm very happy with my pair.
Paul, the producer, wears them, too. Yep.
Oh, yeah. Paul can vouch for them, too.
He's a little light in the loafers once in a while.
But I believe we got the pick is in for the Chicago Bears, so I'm going to reload that here. I know Keith is keeping us up to date in the chat, too. We're going to find out who that number one draft pick is.
Monty's just killing it, dude.
Well, today...
Hey, he's on it.
Knicks are up 29-27 right now, guys.
Monty's going to be banned tomorrow
by Paul. Probably. I had a long day, guys. Come on. I'm not retired like Supersonic out there drinking pina coladas and watching Dancing Girls or something.
No, Wrestling Girls. I'm watching wrestling.
He's got He's got the draft on watch now. Right now, he's watching it.
Oh, I'm watching it. You bet I am. I got nothing but time on my hand.
Caleb Williams, your number one pick for the Bears.
Oh, what a surprise!
It's shocking. It's shocking.
You know that Jason Fields guy that they already had that they drafted what? Season before last or two seasons ago?
Wasn't he the number one too?
Yeah, wasn't he like right at the top of the draft and everybody in the world was predicting how good he was going to be? You know, I actually did. I came in here with the previous host of this show and we talked about that draft pick. And those guys were sold on that guy. Their question was whether or not he was going to start game one or have to sit behind somebody. So how about this guy that the Bears just drafted now? Is he sitting behind Jason Fields, or is he starting game one? And is Jason Fields going to be, like, traded to somebody?
Well, Jason Fields has already been.
Justin Fields. He's already been traded?
Yeah, he's in Denver now.
Oh, good luck, Denver. That's right. Good luck, Denver.
Well, if that's the case.
Where's Russell Wilson? Philippines?
Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
that's right. He went to Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh. Oh, yeah, because they think...
Kind of rotating quarterbacks.
They can redeem him. He's like a ticket.
There's one big extension for the NFL, but in the coaching level, Andy Reid extended for another 3 years with a chef's, making him the highest paid coach in NFL history.
And he probably should be. I mean, his track record's pretty stout. I mean, other than Belichick, I think he's probably right up there, isn't he?
Well, is Belichick in Atlanta? Well, no? Did he take that job?
No, not that I know of.
I'm going to say that that Reed has 134 win-loss record since they took over in 2017. So,
oh no, Andy Reid's it.
And then all his success with the Eagles. So,
well, no. And it'd even been better if he'd had better players. I mean, the Terrell Owens Donovan McNabb combination was
that first season was really good. Yeah, the second season was a little bit
suicide pact, I'd say.
Yeah.
Wasn't he assistant under Holmgren at Green Bay? Isn't that where he started at?
That sounds about right, Bill.
I think he was under Lombardi.
Lombardi?
Back
then. Way, way back, 60s, you know, yeah.
No, that's just Bill being that Bill.
Back to Super Bowl 1 and 2, yeah.
No, I'm pretty sure he was under Holmgren there.
That was back in the 60s.
Yep.
Yeah.
Bart Starr. Oh, my lordy.
Bart Starr.
Keith Cummings says Belichick isn't coaching this year.
Fuzzy.
Oh, he didn't take a job.
Fields and he
says Fields is in Pittsburgh.
Yep, that's what.
No,
No. They said that you guys were saying that.
I'm wrong.
The guy from Denver,
Wilson. Wilson's in Pittsburgh. Yeah.
So was it Justin or Jason Fields?
I'm Justin, I believe. Right,
Justin. Yeah.
But that guy, didn't he come out of Ohio State, something like that?
Yeah.
And top goddamn pick. Everybody thought he was going to be like the quintessential pro quarterback. And
well, wasn't he in the same one as Wentz and the other guy that's in Detroit now?
Wasn't he 2021, so what, 3 years ago?
But 3 years. But like the top pick?
He was right up there, yeah.
Well, they were talking about how many quarterbacks they had that year.
Well, I don't know. I God dang, I don't care what draft it is. You know, I'm watching Chet Holmgren playing for Oklahoma right now. Boy, that boy needs to put some meat on.
He still hasn't put any beef on?
Not at all. He looks like a cancer patient.
Wow. Well, he was a Gonzaga boy, wasn't he? He played at Gonzaga.
Yes,
yeah.
He did. Yes,
he's from Minnesota.
And he's from Minnesota, yeah. Well, but I've never seen a guy that's like that skinny. And then
is he a George Irvin type guy?
What about
can he shoot the
Porzingis
three?
Or whatever he
Well, Porzingis has been around now, though, for almost a decade.
Well, Bill. Then he should have put some weight on.
Well, you know, you bring Porzingis up. You guys want to get me started on NBA like topics? Because I'm going to go off here.
You might as well.
Porzingis.
Fire away. Let's see what you got.
Oh, boy. Okay. So Porzingis was he's a 7'4" kid from overseas. I forget what country. One of those Eastern European countries.
Fair.
Or Russia.
Or Russia. Yeah. He was a Russian kid. You're right. He was actually a Russian kid. And he had all the accolades coming in, but 7'4", could handle the ball, could shoot the three. And the Knicks got him in the draft. And I thought this was going to be the start of something special. He was the guy, man. And rookie of the year, I think, from New York. Mm-hmm. But they didn't do well in the playoffs, if they even made it. And then the next thing you know, the story was he was demanding a trade out of New York. But the story might not have been that he was demanding a trade out of New York, as that Knicks were trying to trade him because then there were allegations of him having sex with an underage girl.
Oh, shit. Here we go.
And the next thing you know, he's moved out of New York and he's in Dallas. And so I think the true story was that there were these allegations, and no charges actually came out of it. They must have paid some money off somewhere to somebody. But the Knicks got him out of town, and it had to do with underage girls. This Russian young guy, he's only about 21 years old at the time. He goes down and plays. They team him up with Doncic in Dallas. Luka Doncic in Dallas. They think that those two foreign guys are going to be the foundation of the Dallas Mavericks. Well, that lasted about a season. And now he's the center in Boston. And he misses a lot of games with injuries and that kind of thing. But he went from being a guy that was going to be a dominant force in basketball games year in and year out to kind of a punk. Kind of a punk.
You know, that happens so much anymore in pro sports. It really does. Yeah. It's kind of sad.
And I hate to say it, but that's the best way to explain it. It's true, though.
Yeah. It's true.
He's not going to be that tough guy image. He's going to be this guy that kind of floats around on the perimeter as a 7'4" guy, and he can shoot the ball. But, well, lo and behold, Boston got their asses checked last night by Miami, didn't they, at home? As the number one team in the goddamn league, right?
I didn't see the score on that.
Okay,
one either.
So Boston and Miami. Boston's the number one team, the best team in the goddamn NBA, by far, way above everybody else. And they go and lose. They go and lose
without Jimmy Butler.
Without Jimmy Butler, on top of it,
111-101. The Celtics lost
last night.
Yep, yesterday.
Yes, yesterday. At home.
Jimmy Butler. Fuck.
Without Jimmy Butler. So Bam Adebayo and Tyler Hero and crew going to Boston Garden and take down the best team in the league after they had to play in to get in there.
That probably didn't go over
good
in Boston.
We got a second pick in for the Washington Commanders. Jaden Daniels, quarterback out of LSU, is your number two
he
pick.
Was supposed to be.
That's who the Vikings wanted.
That's who they had their eyes on.
LSU, Heisman Trophy winner.
I thought the Vikings wanted a guy named May, the third pick.
Well, that's because this guy was going to be gone.
Yeah, well, he was. They knew that, though. So if the Vikings are going to get the Vikings' possibility was trading up to number three.
Right, that's what they
at
wanted.
At best, and
because this is New England now, right?
Yes, but even with that, there's no guarantee either any of these three guys are going to be that good, Bill. Justin Fields, number one pick.
They could be a bust.
Any of them.
LaRue
Martin.
It happens.
LaRue Martin. mean, LaRue Martin, number one pick, 1972 draft, Portland Trailblazer. Nobody in the goddamn world knows who that guy is.
Still don't.
And see, that's the thing about like athletes now. It's like you give them the golden ticket. They have it right there in their hands. And like Monty said, it's right in front of you. You're right there on the finish line. You got this. And then you fuck it up. And then, like Supersonic Steve said, it's a shame because, you know, these guys, they're getting busted left and right. And nobody's safe because it's like, again, Monty just said it. You got the golden ticket. You have everything you want. And then you fuck it up. And then you not only fuck it up for yourself, but you fuck it up for everybody else.
And your family. Yeah, exactly. You know?
Yeah, and that's the point, is that you're short-sighted.
Yeah.
Short-sighted about what the big picture is.
Yeah.
And Kristaps Porzingis could have had this career as one of the best centers that ever played. He could have been Jokic.
Yeah.
He could have been Jokic in Denver.
Oh, man. That guy's good.
Oh, and he's the most humble. He's the most humble. Right now in the NBA, the two top players in the NBA currently are Jokic and Doncic. Eastern European players, and it's not resonating well.
With big hearts, man. Those guys are good people.
But it's not resonating well in urban America. Because they want LeBron. They want Steph. They want Steph Curry. And those guys are all long in the tooth.
We want Caitlin Clark is all anybody wants.
Oh, and there's Mr. Supporter of Women's Sports. Mr. Supporter of Women's Sports.
Caitlin Clark signed a 28.
I about fell out of my chair.
Even though Caitlin Clark got a five-figure rookie deal for the WNBA, what, $78,000 we were saying earlier? But she did make up for it with Nike signing a $28 million contract that spans 8 years and an exclusive shoe. So she will be...
Good for her. She will be set.
Oh my goodness.
So she's going to own the state of Iowa.
Yep, more or less. Well, no, Indiana. She's with the Indiana Fever now, and that's who she got drafted by. And I guess it sounds like all but like four of their games. I was kind of looking more at the follow-ups on the story. It sounds like all but four of the Fever's games are going to be on national cable. So, and the tickets are already going for ridiculous prices since she got drafted there. So it's going to be... Just WNBA probably getting record viewership, shattering most presumably. Is that a safe bet? You'd all say.
I mean, they're doing pretty okay. I mean, it's just crazy because like Monty, I'm sorry, like, and this is nothing against, but it has to be against LeBron. I mean, there are tons of other players. You have all these players in your roster. LeBron is not the godfather of everybody. I'm sorry. He's good. He's very good. But there's other people besides him. And the women's, they're doing great. They are.
They're on an upswing.
They're amazing. Like, keep going. You guys are, as long as you don't keep, like, doing crazy stuff, you're going good. Keep on the line, as they say. But otherwise, I mean, yeah, as Monty said, you could just pick other people besides LeBron. I know LeBron is the shit, and everybody likes to say that, but there's tons of other people.
One other thing I'd like to interject real quick is that Bill and I were talking a little bit before you got in, Monty, on a good Timberwolf note. Timberwolf first ever won the NBA Sixth Man of the Year. We got to give some props to Mr. Naz Reid.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Filled in admirably for Cat while he was out and just being a really good six man all around. At least I thought so anyways. So, but
can I say something about LeBron?
Please do.
If it's nice. Please do.
It's not nice. It's truthful. I just can't stand a guy that pumps his own chest and says he's the greatest of all time.
Yes.
You know, and it's always the same thing. You know, I'm the greatest of all time and this and that. You know, you don't see Jordan. You don't see Jerry West, those guys saying I'm the greatest of all time. And, you know, I just think it's hypocritical. I mean, okay, you're good. You had a nice career, but, you know, enough of that shit. I mean, it's time to – you're not the best player anymore. You haven't been the best player for probably 5 years, and you keep throwing shit out there, and it's – you know, I think he self-promotes himself way too much, and I think it's time for him to close the door on it.
Yeah, and see, you are absolutely right, Super Sonic Eve. I mean, honestly, like these, and don't get me wrong. I mean, he had his time, and he was doing good. But yeah, those guys who self-promote themselves. I mean, even Mike Tyson said it himself. Like, you cannot be cocky in any sport like you do. You get enough cockiness in you, and believe me, you'll get hurt. And there will always be someone better than you. There are great people. There are a lot of great athletes out there. Don't get me wrong. There are tons. But if the second that you say, I'm the greatest, no one's going to stop me, that's when you get the big
hurt. Your ass kicked.
Yeah, that's when you get the big hurt, and that's going to suck for you.
Well, at least he stayed till the end of the game the other night.
True. But, I mean, I don't know what good that did him, though. Like,
he got to see the other team go down. And
got a couple more updates here. We got the next pick in. The Patriots, or the number three pick, took Drake May, quarterback out of North Carolina.
So that's three quarterbacks in a row.
When was the last time there's been three straight quarterbacks for to start off a draft? Does that ring a bell? I can't think of it that close. I remember 2003 was a huge year for quarterbacks, but they were kind of spaced out a little bit through the first round.
Well, I guess it was what's his name? Trey Lance.
Oh, right.
Trey Lance and the guy that's at Detroit now. I forget what his name is.
But oh, yeah.
I thought...
Stafford.
What is his name?
Wasn't Stafford there? Or he was. Yeah,
I think it was Stafford. Or no, Stafford was in Detroit, and didn't they trade with the Rams or something, and then somebody went from the Rams, or was that Stafford that went from the Rams to Detroit?
I will look it up.
They move around anymore so much, it's crazy to keep up with them. Plus, I'm not that smart.
Yeah, it's hard to keep track of all those different ones.
Now college, they move around so much, you don't know from one year to the next who your quarterback's going to be.
Yeah, I guess now that we got the draft, the portal, that's making it a constant wild card. I also got a couple score updates, too, if you guys want, for the NBA there for playoffs right now. We have Magic currently leading the Cavs, 89-58, halfway through the third quarter. Monty, the Knicks and 76ers, it's a tie right now, so there you go. Early in about halfway through the second quarter, and then Nuggets and Lakers play tonight at 9 o'clock.
Oh, that'll be late tonight.
Yep. West Coast game. Timberwolves, their game is a 9 o'clock game, I believe, tomorrow also, so for game three.
Oh, because they're in Denver.
Yep.
You do make these games pretty late, though. This is crazy.
I'm back. Yeah, I'll jump back in here. Want me to talk more about Delonte West and LeBron James' mom?
Let's hear more about that, man. Hear the ultimate dig.
I heard a lot about Pippen's wife, that she's got quite an appetite, and it's not for food.
Left field and comes up with that shit.
Damn, Bill. Really? Like a burn about a burn. That's a second degree burn.
And I'm the bad guy.
Yeah, but I didn't say anything bad, though. It's just minds go wandering.
You just took us and dug us a ditch.
I didn't say any cuss words. Apparently, you guys got the gist of my conversation.
Bill just went and buried.
Okay. Bill, good job. I love that.
He did a little week off and came back here all
he's recharged, ready to go. Yeah.
That's the Bill I know.
Raven would have loved that one.
Oh boy.
Supersonic Steve, the next time you're in Grand Forks, I'm gonna send you with Bill down to the Red Pepper.
Well, man, let's go.
It's just a food place, but the shit this guy says to people.
Well, just some jewelry.
Yeah, well, he He's so soft spoken.
Yeah, really. I know that. I can tell that from miles away, all the way to the West Coast. I can tell he's gentle. I don't think there's a gentle bone in that guy's body. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Someone's got to get the ratings up.
No kidding.
Bill delivered.
He's on it. You took a week off, man. You are on your fucking A game, buddy.
Yeah, but Dale's gonna be doing races Saturday night.
Yeah, we'll see how the weather goes. But right now, it looks like, as far as I heard, I've been checking every few hours. It's gonna be, I think day to day, it looks like how the weather will look, how it'll shake out. But as far as I know, racing is still currently scheduled to go on at Devil's Lake this Saturday. It'll be the season opener. If not this week, next week, we'll see. Hopefully weather will stay at least clear enough in, well, I guess technically Cary, North Dakota is where the track's at. But Devil's Lake.
Is it raining back there? Is that kind of the problem?
Today, I'll tell you what. The wind was blowing to beat hell.
Yeah,
it looked like the dirty 30s. The topsoil blowing off the fields has been ridiculous because of the lack of snow cover.
Yeah.
That's right. You had a weak winter.
Yes, very. I mean, I've never seen anything like this in my life, the way the dust is blowing right now.
Yeah.
I came into Grand Forks at the end of the day today, and it was like a big haze. Yeah. It looked like a forest fire, Steve.
Interstellar, yes. Yeah. Good comparison.
Yeah, nice one, Paul.
Well, like my dad sent me a few photos. He was on the road, and yeah, it was just, yeah, like a good, like Interstellar is a very apt comparison there. Monty, I imagine you're out on the roads nonstop today too. You probably had to blast the brights to get through it.
No, I wasn't that bad. It was bad enough. But the wind. Well, one of the things is when you're out there delivering things and doing your thing is I don't want to chase my hat because the wind blows my hat off. That's sure. my goal. And I didn't have to today, but boy, that's frustrating as hell when the 50-mile-an-hour winds take your hat and you're chasing it down the street.
That's very true.
F-bombing all the way.
I see we got another draft pick in.
And just before you get to it, it blows away again.
Arizona Cardinals picking Marvin Harrison Jr. out of Ohio State, carrying on his dad's legacy.
He's good. He's real good.
So the Patriots refused to trade that pick off to the Vikings, so the Vikings are going to go with what? They're going to pick a...
I think they're 11th, say.
11th and 21st or 23rd, something like that. I don't know. You know, you pick a guy at 11, he might be just as good as the guy at 1. Mm. You just never know. I don't give a shit what sport it is. You can't...
Heart.
You know, it is. It's heart. That's and Supersonic, have you been seeing any of my New York Knicks?
Oh, yeah.
That's a basketball team. Josh Hart, Dante DiVincenzo, and Jalen Brunson, former Villanova college teammates, have won national championship together, are playing big minutes, and the chemistry, the ball movement, and the defense on that team, because Tom Thibodeau is a defensive guy. If you don't play defense, you don't get to fucking play. You sit on the bench.
True.
Because, you know, shooters are diamond.
And he has no problem with that. He has no problem. If you don't.
No. If you don't play defense, at the end. You don't get to play. Uh-huh. You don't get to play at all.
Which sucks. You,
well, yeah, especially when you're making $30 million a year and he doesn't. He barely lets you warm up in practice. But no. These guys all love him. And the Knicks are a scrappy team. Like I said, they're the one team in the league that plays defense. They at one point during the season held like 4 straight opponents under 80 points in a league where they're blowing it up at 150 fucking points a game, 140 points a game, 130 points a game.
Or if the All-Star game, you're talking 200 points a game.
Yeah, most ridiculous fucking All-Star game that ever happened.
Like, I won't watch it. It was like, I won't watch that.
No, what was the score? Like 215?
I think it was like over 200 points.
Yeah, 215 to like 189. I mean,
yeah, it was ridiculous.
That's not
the only defense was played in the fucking line for beer.
Yeah. That is true. There's TikTok.
Monty
footage.
Comes out of left Jeez, field this Monty. Time. Right on.
Monty's got some sour grapes.
Monty's like, I'm not spilling my fucking beer
they're,
for
they're,
this.
They're not in Welch's.
Well, that's what it amounts to.
Oh, gosh.
Well, and it's weird, too. Line, huh? Well, it's weird, too, because you got those guys that want to just, like, you know, they want to be the shooters. Like, they want to be like, oh, who's going to score the point for it? And Monty's right. Like, those guys who play defense, like hardcore defense, those guys are the shit. And those guys will defend
Play basketball. Oh, they know how to play basketball.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Well, and these three guys that played together at Villanova, they love each other.
Yeah.
There's no jealousy. They don't give a shit who scores the winning basket or who's in this position. The chemistry is so great. And chemistry in sports, I don't give a shit. You can't create that.
Yeah. No. It doesn't. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah. You're absolutely right. Do you think they'll come out of the East then, and then Denver out of the West?
Boy, I don't know if the Knicks will get all the way out of the East. You know, because they're playing.
They got to play Boston, but Boston is
on the rocks right now. Though Boston, mm-hmm. Boston has a reputation for being soft. They don't have the killer. So just for instance, we all know that Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are the two stars on the team.
Mm-hmm.
Do either one of them have the put their foot on your throat mentality?
No,
I don't think so.
No,
I don't
think so. No. Not like Walt Frazier.
Not like Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
Not like Kobe.
Michael Jordan.
Jordan, yeah. Yeah.
The guys that put their foot on your throat and make you feel the pain.
Oh, yeah.
These guys
squeeze it.
These guys have already lost in big situations. They've been to the finals once and lost. They've been in the playoffs before and lost. Last year, they ended up getting beat by the Miami Heat as they were the favorite, and they got beat. And now they're playing the Heat again. The Heat are the eight. They're the one. And they're the best team in the NBA, record-wise.
Best record, right.
And now it's 1-1 going to Miami.
Shit.
I mean.
Yeah, should have got two. Then you go down there. You get one down there. It's still even up.
Yeah, yeah. And
then is it go 1-1-1 after that?
Yeah.
Is it go 2-2 and then 1-1-1?
Yeah, and Jimmy Butler didn't play.
Why? Makeup?
He's injured.
No, he got hurt.
Yeah, he got hurt. So the Heat are playing without their supposed leader against the best team in the league, and now it's 1-1 going to Miami. I would look at Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Kristaps Porzingis. Might as well go bang some more underage girls for all I fucking care. The Knicks are. I'm a Knicks fan, and they're the most exciting they've been in decades. And
I don't think they could lose any more players if they keep doing that.
Well, Dale says I got to do this ad, and so here we go.
Well, I'm glad you listened to Dale.
Always, always.
And you, Bill.
Well, Bill is
he's God, godly.
Yeah, he's so. What do we call pure?
Well, I wouldn't go there. That's not the first thing to come out of my mouth. It's not pure.
Got me on the air. Okay, read the ad. Whew. River Cinema 15 and the Shire Bar and Grill. Make the River Cinema 15 and the Shire Bar and Grill your next dinner and movie destination at River Mall in East Grand Forks. Either dine inside the movie memorabilia packed restaurant, the Shire, or take your meal to the movie you're attending. The Shire is a really good place. You would be surprised at the food there. Some of this week's featured attractions are Abigail Civil War. I actually kind of am intrigued by that one where it's the little girl that gets kidnapped and she ends up being the vampire,
right?
Killing everybody,
right?
I think that's a great premise.
Yeah, same.
Spy Family Code White. I'm not positive about that. Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. Shrek 2 20th anniversary. So they redo these movies and show the actual originals.
Yeah, they show the original ones. Yeah,
and The First Omen. That also looks like another movie that I kind of might like to watch because I'm into those the genre of way back when.
Oh, yeah. The horror movies.
Godzilla versus Kong, Arthur the King, Kung Fu Panda, and Dune Part 2 is kind of a Paul thing over here. But no, I do like that. For some reason, that Abigail movie kind of catches me.
Same. I want to see it. And it
looks like one of those things that would be worth seeing. Just and I might have to go by myself because my wife would never go to that.
Fair enough.
Don't forget about Tuesday's $5 movie specials all day long and the $5.50 senior matinee special on Wednesdays and Thursdays. The River Cinema has luxury recliners and expanded concessions that now serve adult beverages and is family-owned and operated. Well, there's your ad.
So, what? Monty, did you see your manager get ejected?
Yeah, I got that. Yeah, Boone from the Yankees. Did you see how he got ejected?
Boy, I feel like I'm getting picked on here.
No, that was a shitty call by that umpire, man. He was way out of line on that.
Okay, so he
no, I didn't made see the that. Call. I didn't see this.
Okay,
I didn't
well, see anyways, the umpire warned him very well. You know, the first pitch, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and so then apparently what happened? They had the camera on.
The manager.
On the manager, and he didn't say anything at all, and he got thrown out. And it was a person, a fan, that was behind him. And so the umpire thought he heard Boone say something, and he had just warned him that if you say anything else, you're getting ejected. Oh, so then shoot. He went over there and ejected him. And Boone was saying, "It wasn't me. It wasn't me. It was this guy right here."
Shoot.
It was crazy. Did you see the umpire's
quote? And Major League Baseball do your quintessential typical thing, come out and say, "We apologize."
No, oh, yeah.
We got the call wrong, but we're assholes and it's gonna stand.
Yeah,
the umpire was quoted after the game, and like he was interviewed by the reporters, and he was essentially saying, "Hey, well, I warned him, and it came from his side of the dugout, and he was warned. He's responsible."
So now the manager of a baseball team is responsible for the fans' conduct. We're in a great precedent. How about the umpires fucking
I'm paraphrasing. It wasn't about, his exact words. That's pretty much what he was saying, more or less. Yeah.
But how about the umpires just be fucking umpires and worry about what's going on in the field instead of
what's going on,
what they're hearing from the sidelines. Much like the NBA players like LeBron or Russell Westbrook, when a fan is heckling them in the stadium and they stop
and they want them kicked out.
Stop the goddamn game and have this person kicked out that paid $500 for this fucking seat. You know, that in years past, Bill, on the court activity, on the diamond activity, you tune that shit out.
Yeah.
You tune that shit out.
And Westbrook is actually playing right now.
The Clippers, yeah. But I'm telling you that today it's like, oh, my God, I'm offended. This guy over here said something that hurt my feeling. I only have one fucking feeling.
Yeah, okay? Exactly.
You don't hurt my feelings. You hurt my feeling.
Nope. Being that up close, I got a chance to go to a couple of UND hoops games, just really close to courtside. And the players and the bench and the coaches yelling the stuff they yell sometimes. I was like, wow, this is just on the college level. I can only imagine with the pro level.
Judge Judy doesn't care about feelings either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She wants you to have a law degree before you have any say in anything at all. Your feelings, and you do not need to question her on anything at all.
Well, even
she doesn't take questions.
Yeah, because like Monty said, all that shit that's going on, you need to tune that shit out. Your focus should be on this field. Whatever is going on out there, check it out the fucking door. Because right here, this is where we are.
Exactly.
This is where your focus should be. And only this should be.
And that's right. And because it isn't.
Yeah.
Well, if
your focus is like on some fan that's heckling you.
Yeah.
Here's just for an instance, guys. Just for, I bring this up, and I wish I knew the guy's name. But back in the day, back in the day, the Washington Bullets, they can't even call them the Washington Bullets because people are so fucking offended over names these days. They had to change the name to the Washington Wizards because the Bullets, Washington, D.C. at the time was like the murder capital of the United States. But because we're the Bullets, must have something to do with that.
Yeah.
Didn't. Bullets were, the Washington was an armory. It was an armory.
There, yeah.
The Washington Bullets were named after an armory.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Washington Bullets had a fan. He was a lawyer. And I wish I knew the guy's name off the top of my head. I could look him up. You guys, you could look him up and find footage of this guy. He had season tickets next to the opposing team's bench in the front row. So
he had a few bucks.
Yes. And every team that came into the Washington, to the stadium, he was seated at the end of their bench in the front row. And he would get up and heckle them and talk like trash to them. He had all the stats on every player of all opposing, and he was a lawyer. Mm. So it was like a vicious thing. It was
oh, just poking the bear, just poking the bear.
And nobody ever asked that this guy get tossed out of a game.
He'd rip into the opposing team throughout the game.
All game long, every game. They hated him. The opposing teams that came in there hated this guy. They saw him game after game after game.
but what could you do? He's a lawyer.
Well, the opposing players, they couldn't say anything because, you know, there's that expression, don't feed the trolls. They'd come off soft, whipping, we can't take what this guy...
Well, no, you're poking the bear, man. And as an athlete, you're trained to ignore that.
Yeah.
Ignore that.
Yeah.
And this guy is...
Well, there's you know, the cliches, you know, if you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen,
yeah, exactly.
You know.
So, well, Monty's, you're going to have to look that up on YouTube. That,
or what was it?
My Yankee manager getting tossed.
You've got to see that.
Yeah, I saw the clip. Yeah, it's good stuff, Monty. Yeah, he's so animated.
Boone gets tossed about as much as any manager in baseball because he does argue the calls. And, you know, when it comes to, and we've talked about this before, was Aaron Boone and Brett Boone.
We got the family.
Yeah.
Dad, grandfather, Gus, the whole nine.
Yeah, Gus Boone played in the major leagues. Bob Boone
was a catcher.
Was the dad of this guy. So we're talking three generations of professional baseball players. So yeah. I will never question one of the Boone family's baseball knowledge or acumen or ability to do anything because they are baseball.
Mm. Monty, a couple more picks came in since we last updated.
Fire it away, Dale.
The Chargers picked Joe Alt, offensive tackle out of Notre Dame. And the New York Giants picked Malik Nabers out of LSU wide receiver. So a couple more picks there. Any of those names, were they up on your guys'
I'd heard the guy from Notre Dame was going to be like in the top five.
Yeah,
his dad was a pro football player too, lineman, big kid.
And I see Titans are on the clock here next. So, did you guys hear about, you know, speaking of all these, you know, drafts, all these people up and coming now into the NFL? Did you hear about the one big retirement from the past week?
No.
Matt Ryan hanging it up, announced his retirement after 15 years.
Oh yeah,
I didn't hear that one.
He's Atlanta, wasn't he?
Yeah, Atlanta.
Primary Atlanta.
Yeah.
I have one dubious Matt Ryan memory. I imagine it's probably the first memory that comes to you for him, too. I know he'd hate to have this on his resume. I mean, he does have a great...
Oh, in the Super Bowl?
Yep. Yep. He's responsible for giving up the biggest comeback in Super Bowl history to the Patriots. But, you know, on the flip side, that same year, though, he was the league MVP, though. So he had a hell of a season.
Yeah.
And give him a little credit there.
And unfortunately, that guy on the other side was some hack.
Some hack.
Yeah.
Only won six Super Bowls.
Yeah. And his coach wasn't any good either.
No. I don't see that as so terrible as I think that Houston Buffalo Bills game. With the turnaround that happened way back there in the past with the Frank Wright and was worse. Was the score like, 38-3 or something, and the team came back and beat them? You know, Bill's silent over here. What are you?
I can't remember who won the Super Bowl last year. So.
Oh no, I do. I'll never forget it. God dang, Chiefs beam the Niners again in overtime. Boo!
That's right. We were calling suicide hotlines for Dale.
Yeah, I was like, I went radio silent. I went off the radar for a day and a half. It was bad. It was bad.
Has anybody heard from Dale? Has anybody heard from Dale?
No. Anybody want to call him? Yeah.
You know, it was so fun until overtime. I was like in three separate group chats and just having so much fun. It was so close, such a great game. But oh yeah,
he's still alive.
Monty, I know we're down to our last 5 minutes. I know we have not had a chance to touch on the NHL playoffs. Have you been get a chance to keep up with anything so far? Anything that stood out to you?
All I know for certain is that the New York Rangers won 54 games for the first time in the history of the team, and they're original members of the NHL. So they're the top team in the whole shebang, but I have not seen enough little bits of hockey games. Usually I try to watch as much of that as I can because I love the first round and the viciousness and the speed, but I've been more into the NBA because of my new
NBA guy.
The Knicks. It's been the Knicks. And then the Yankees were on this roll for a while too. So between the Rangers, the Yankees, and the Knicks, it's like fucking heaven for me.
Money's in happy town. I got a couple.
I can't believe you didn't see Brett Boone boy.
The last couple days though, I've been a little bit tied up. So
I will say,
but you were going wild there, Monty.
That was great. Monty was living.
Wild, man.
You better make sure that he leaves his credit card here.
Yeah,
you're gonna have to.
A swipe for the pig?
I think the pig's topped off like three times over.
Well,
swear pig.
You know, I'm okay with it, Monty. I'll take care of you next time I'm back.
There we go.
Oh, gosh. I will give a couple quick hockey score updates here. Just I know right now in the playoffs, we got the Panthers currently over the Lightning 3-2 at second intermission. Hurricanes are leading the Islanders 3-1, about a little over halfway in the second period. They're leading that series 2-0. Panthers are leading the series 2-0. Then we also got currently leading Bruins are leading over the Maple Leafs 2-1. Golden Knights are leading over the Dallas Stars 2-0. And the LA Kings and Edmonton Oilers are tied at 1 game each. Do you guys have picks? Who's going to take it all for either the NHL or the NBA playoff? Who's your pick to win it all?
Boy,
Rangers, Knicks, Yankees. Mm-hmm. How's that?
That was simple.
What can be more simpler than that?
I go
the Super Bowl of Vikings too, or
no,
Giants,
no,
Giants.
The Vikings. You know, I went off on a tangent here a couple weeks ago, and the Vikings aren't going to win the Super Bowl until the Wilf family and part of the Vikings membership goes down to Mankato and exercises that. Dakota 38 demon.
That's right. You brought that up a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, and I don't. I do feel like that's a factor because Minnesota Vikings training camp was in Mankato for many, many, many years.
Yes, it is. It was.
And well, now they're back in the cities, but still, I feel like that's part of their jinx or their curse.
Where were they before Mankato?
You know, Supersonic, did you hear Bill? Did you hear him?
I did hear him, and I have no clue because that's where I've always thought it was.
No, we should have a trivia question.
No, this get
Winnemucca. Winnemucca or some fuck. Who knows?
Well, when he asks a question like that, it jolts me back in my chair. And I'm like, where is he going with this?
Well, it's a place you've definitely heard of before.
Really? Rick's Cabaret? No.
Just outside the parking lot.
Well, I'm still thinking Keith could probably win a prize or something because he can tell you for sure.
Oh, he already has a prize. We have his Monopoly Super Bowl money waiting for him here. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Still.
Yep. Keith, I know Keith is going to be a Dirty Thursday guest here in the coming weeks here. I think he said he wants to, you know, do double duty, do Dirty Thursday, and then stick around to do Fork Sports Highway.
He's always welcome to come in here and do this.
Walk-on status for Keith.
Yeah. Just like Victor over here.
Thank you.
We haven't seen you in a while.
Yeah, I always enjoy being on. Like, when I ever get a chance to be on here, man. Like, Bill and Monty, man, they're nuts.
Victor, want to go?
Oh, nuts.
What?
Oh,
man. Come on.
You tell me about it.
Bill and Monty, they're nuts, but they're awesome. I love them. So.
That's all right. That's why we're on here.
Yeah.
We're crazy.
Exactly.
You can find Victor every other Thursday on GFBS on big screens and TV streams, laying down that movie and TV knowledge.
Hey, yes.
Did Dale tell you about that video game show? You see that trophy up there? The one, the lit up one?
Yeah.
Have you looked at that?
Yes, I have.
Mr. Video Game over here?
Yes, I have. Wait. Oh.
And what does that remind you of?
Yes, Paul told that joke. Paul told that dick joke.
Oh god.
You know where you can stick that joke?
Oh god.
Oh, Paul told that joke.
Diminish a big
going
win.
Sideways. Bill, did you start all this shit? I mean, come on.
I didn't start that one.
That was Paul, and I knew he'd start that show. I was like, and Paul literally looked at me.
Paul. I feel like you guys are tarnishing my victory.
Monty, it's all right. If they take away that trophy, they'll make sure to give it back to you, just like they gave the Heisman back to Reggie Bush.
Oh, yeah, talk about that. Reggie Bush has actually brought a lawsuit against the NCAA even beyond the trophy now. Once he got the trophy, now he wants everything.
He wants money
yeah. out of the NCAA for like disparaging him.
You know what? You might as well just give it to him. Give it to him. Because he's already had a tough he always had a tough time anyway.
But what did he get?
He got monetarily.
Oh, he got something, Bill.
Oh, he actually got the trophy back.
Yeah. The Heisman trophy.
But when he was in college, him and his parents got quite a bit of
They got vehicles and
That was the Pete Carroll legacy down there.
I don't know.
I got a couple.
I think it was, while we're on that, we might as well give OJ back his Heisman too.
Absolutely. I mean,
take away OJ's? Yeah. Oh well, gosh. Well, I got.
They took his away because of something that he didn't get convicted of.
Yeah,
basically.
If the fit cub don't fit, must acquit. You must acquit.
Johnny Cochran.
You got to go back in the lodge.
I got a quote for you for Reggie Bush here for this year and the Heisman Trophy Trust.
No, thank you, man.
So, Reggie Bush, for getting the trophy back, here's what he said. Quote, "I'm thrilled to reunite with my fellow Heisman winners and be a part of the storied legacy of the Heisman Trophy, and I'm honored to return to the Heisman family." The Heisman Trophy Trust stated the reason to return the trophy to Bush is because the student-athlete compensation is, quote, "an accepted practice and appears here to stay." Yeah, and I guess
nowadays,
what does that have to do with anything back then?
Yeah,
it's crazy. Bill, I think you deserve Neil money.
Yeah, well, Bill wants
about
Neil
Pete
money.
Rose?
Bill,
get Are we going to let Pete man? Rose into the Hall of Fame?
Well, compared to like the basketball player from Toronto that just got suspended for throwing games for life, did you see that?
I remember that. Oh yeah, I remember
And I mean, I don't. You know, Charlie Hustle. I have a tough time though with the whole thing because everybody always argues against him. But I'm like, you can take athletes in baseball that have won championships with two teams, and you can count them on your two hands in the history of baseball. It's been going on since the 1800s. And then you have Charlie Hustle, who also not only has done that, but he's the all-time hits leader, past Ty Cobb, right? And 4,000-plus hits. And also had the 44-game hitting streak. Nobody since 1900 has had a 44-game hitting streak except Pete Rose, okay? Oh, okay. You had the 56-game hitting streak by the Yankee Clipper, Joe DiMaggio. Yeah. But in modern fucking baseball time,
closest I could think
44-game hit streak. What, Ken Landrieu for the Twins with 31 or 31?
I was going to say Paul Molitor had, like a 35 or 37 in, like, the mid to late 80s.
Well, yeah, but so still. It's Pete Rose.
But,
and... and And not only that, he was the 1973 MVP of the National League. You know, I just, he has all the accolades that ever existed, and they did not prove that he threw a game ever.
Monty, we're down to our last couple minutes here for final topics. I see Paul has something here, too.
Wait.
What is Paul going to say?
Will we remain on the air?
No, because okay, we're talking about accolades, and maybe you guys have already touched on this, but the WNBA girl that is white has been apparently the best basketball player.
Caitlin Clark.
Caitlin Clark.
Man, question mark?
Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
Dude, whoa. I knew Paul was going to say that. I knew
kill us.
Well, I think we're ready to call this a show, Monty.
I knew he was going to say that.
You know, I know young guys that Caitlin Clark is their ideal woman. They love her. They would like to marry her.
Did you turn him off? No, I don't want that on.
Well, it is, but no, I am boy.
He boiled the potatoes.
He took us in a dark spot.
Paul did?
Yes. No. Boy.
Well, anything
we
got before we wrap up here,
Monty? Well, I better.
I want to throw one thing out there about Pete Rose.
Supersonic Steve, go ahead.
You know what? He won gold gloves in five different positions.
Man, Pete. Question mark?
You just compounded what I've been saying. The guy was as great as any ball player that ever lived, and we'll never see another one like him.
Nope. And people don't realize that. You don't get a gold glove just handed to you for a trophy. You know?
Five different positions. Yeah. That's like Jim Cott, like with his 18 gold gloves at pitcher.
Yeah, big man, big fella.
Okay, so the answer to my trivia question is Bemidji.
Bemidji, okay, I'll go with that.
Who's from
was that
Bemidji?
When Bud Grant was coaching?
Well, they started in, 1960, didn't they?
Oh, the Vikings training camps were in Bemidji.
Bemidji.
Why do you know that?
I don't know.
What is wrong with you? You know, I've been told that
I'm not even a Viking fan.
I know. You're a Raider fan. I've been told many times in my life that I have a lot of useless information in my brain. And
I've been called worse.
But you know, when I sit across the table from Bill, he amazes me because he has just as much useless information.
And then you go on and have a few beers and talk about it.
You're a Rangers fan. Did you know that? How do you know that?
I'm done.
Okay, we're done.
I got to go home.
Put a fork in it.
You have to read something at the end.
Yeah, after what Paul said, I was done. I was
put a fork in it. Yeah.
That's all I got.
Question,
okay. We'll talk next week, guys.
Hey, Supersonic.
All right. Take care, bud.
Take
care. Thank you for tuning in to tonight's Fork Sports Highway. Catch us live every Thursday night at 6:30 right here on Grand Forks Best Source Live on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Twitch, and now partnered on Millions. Find our past shows by searching GFBS on your favorite podcast or social media apps. That's all for today. We'll see you next week.
New Brew Brothers at 9.
Brew Brothers at 9. They've had a good following lately. I've been watching their little numbers. I wish they'd leave a little more beer in the studio, though.
Well, I didn't catch that. Sorry.
I said it was.